Good morning. Boy, it is so good to see you all. Every year we're gone a month this time of year, and we just miss you. We just couldn't stay away as long this time. And so we're grateful that we were staying close enough to home that we could check in with you kind of mid-break. I'm in the process in these 4 weeks of writing the last sermon series I'll do as your lead pastor. It'll be on the book of Ephesians. Why don't you start to read through the book of Ephesians? Would you do that? Just read through the book of Ephesians. 2 weeks from today, we'll start that series. 8 messages I'm writing on the book of Ephesians. We're going to call it Restored Our Story. There'll be 7 video CP stories. Now, how do you imagine us picking 7 stories to share on video after 31 years of what miracles that God has done? So just, yes, bring tissues with you. Just bring them with you. We're going to laugh, we're going to cry. We're calling it a revival that's being launched today. How many of you remember the term revival years ago? Some of you get a little, maybe you were one and it scared you to death. Just relax, you'll enjoy it. It's going to be revivalous again, okay? And we like to have a revival every weekend, but there's a special edge to these last few weeks. These 10 weeks, I would say, that start today, really 11 weeks. We'll have our last kind of official weekend with you all and celebrate kind of the journey together. But the next 10 weeks, we'll be teaching together. And the Pastoral Succession Series continues with these really nationally in-demand speakers that God has brought to us to share these unique pastoral succession stories in the Bible. It's the first time in 31 years we've gone through this process of succession and a new lead pastor. I'll just tell you this briefly, that God has brought to us the very best of the best, the best leaders, the best teachers, the best pastors in the nation. And I mean that. I've had multiple people tell me that. In fact, the other day, one of the guys who we were talking to, I talking to his successor, okay, who retired, and they hired this guy. And when we were talking to his fella, and he said, "Steve, I'll just warn you, if he shows up, they will say, 'Steve who?' in 2 weeks." I said, "That's the guy we want right there." I mean that. That's not false stuff. I mean it for real. That, you know, it's going to be the name of Jesus that you have heard, the name you're going to hear, but God is bringing just the right person here to us. I really do believe I'll be able to introduce that person to you before I leave in September. But as you know, we're prepared as long as it takes. And Dave Faust that God sent to us, just as God does, someone who has overseen and shepherded the kind of ministry this is, the kind of 52-weekend responsibility we have to bring fresh bread to the Lord's people and to those who don't know Christ. And so Dave Faust is going to shepherd that process. If there's a period of time between my last week in September and the new lead pastor, he'll be shepherding that. So be assured this is not a time to bail. It's a time to be all in that way. But at the same time, keep praying about that. And so we've had our guys talking about these succession stories. So let me just kind of, here's where we're going, short story. You're going to hear today from talking about from Jesus passing the baton to the apostles. And the revival really starts today. We're going to know what I'm talking about pretty quick. You'll just know what I'm talking about before we're done today. And then next week, Dave Faust will come and talk about Paul passing the baton to Timothy as he wrote those words before he died in prison to Timothy. And he cries as he writes to him. It's powerful. And then I'm going to come. We're just going to walk through the book of Ephesians and hear these miraculous stories, 7 tape stories. And the last week will be a live interview. You do not want to miss a week. I promise you. You don't want to miss a week as we celebrate together what God has done and is doing and will do until he tarries. The best days of this church are to come without a doubt. And so I'm looking forward to kind of telling you, starting in July, just the stuff that I've seen for 10 months as God has been getting us ready, confirming our decision, shoring up our particular call. And so today, my friend, Pastor Clarence Moore is going to join us here. Now, all these guys are very in demand and very, very busy, and it's a huge commitment for them to be here. Pastor Clarence gave a message to our staff about 3 months ago, and I said, "You've got to come and tell the whole church that message. It was so from God. I knew you all needed to hear this. I need to hear it again. We all need to hear it." So he worked his schedule out to be here today with us. Those of you who don't know Pastor Clarence, he's been the pastor for over 25 years at the New Era Church, Martin Luther King and 32nd Street, something like that. And we're just close. God has brought us together. It's just a God thing. He's one of my very closest friends in the world. He's a part of the process of calling our lead pastor. He's praying as hard as you are for our lead pastor. I'm seeking his counsel about our pastor. If you don't like the new pastor, blame Clarence. I'm just wanting to make sure you can know who to run down if you don't like it, all right? But he is really a small handful of people that I'm so close with, and I value their spiritual insight, that he is very much engaged in all the dialogue and prayer that I'm involved with and with people. And so we're getting a lot of wisdom, collective wisdom. You know, God knew what he was doing. One person shouldn't make a decision like that. It's a collective group of people making a decision of consensus. And so you keep praying for the leadership in that process, and Clarence will be a part of that. But today he's going to bring us a word that's just going to be so powerful. Most of you know, if you are new, you don't know, I'm moving to a season where I'll be doing consulting with the two different firms. And this sermon series I'm doing is going to become a book that churches can kind of go through to see the church restored as God restored it here. But it's going to be not about the past, but about the future and what God continues to do. And so I'll be consulting churches and coaching them, but I also am going to bring along my buddy Clarence, Pastor Clarence, because listen to me, here's the vision that Clarence and I walk around to pastors around the nation, and we're going to say to them, have you crossed racial lines? Are you close friends with somebody of a different race than you in ministry? If not, why not? You're missing it. Speed of the leader, speed of the team. I love this man. We joke about we're brothers from another mother, but we emphasize the brother. And I mean that with all my heart. And so I love him, and I know you love him. If you've never heard him, you're going to love him. And God will speak to you and prepare us today. I know he has a special, very special word that you're never going to forget as we move forward as a church. So would you love on my precious dear friend? Now listen, before we're done, wait a minute. I forgot to do something. At 8 o'clock. When I preached at his church, New Era, my middle son said to me, Dad, that's the best sermon I've ever heard you preach. Really? You know why it was? The congregation makes the preacher. Is anybody listening to me? I'm talking about when I preach, they talk back to me. You guys don't, because I already preach an hour, so that's why you're going, shoot, we're not talking back. You'd go 3 hours if we yelled back at you. I understand that. But today, I don't want my friend to have to beg for y'all to participate. Amen. That was very weak sauce. Come on. And the point I want to hear you in the lobby, in the center, when he says something that you believe and affirm, we're gonna make him feel at home. So you're going to say amen? Amen. I like you mean it, okay? So you love on him real good. We want him to feel very much at home, because I consider when I go there, that's my home. New Era, that's my church, my home away from home. That's my church home. I'll be going there a lot after we leave here, a lot, okay? And he feels at home when he comes here. He's a part of Connection Point. That's why we see him. New Era pays his salary, thank the Lord. But we get to have him as part of our team. So you live on my precious, precious, dear brother in Christ, Pastor Clarence Moore. Come on, buddy.
I love you, baby.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Well, good morning.
Morning,
Connection Point. I thought I was never going to get out here, I tell you. He is my incredible friend. I don't know. I'm so enamored with his leadership, and he and Kristen have been here over 30 or so years, and how this ministry has grown under his dynamic, his very incredible leadership. And so I count it a blessing to be able to share in this season of his life, and in this season of your life together as a church. I am so, so blessed, as Hope and I, my wife, who is on a bus right now, headed down to Kids Across America, a Christian camp for inner city kids. She has about 55 inner city kids on this bus with her, and they're headed down to Lomore and learn more about Jesus. But she would have been here with Kristen, and because Kristen and Steve have become such dear friends, and we are just blessed to be a part of this family. I feel at home when I come to Connection Point. I want to say that I'm proud of the fact of how Pastor Steve, is finishing so strong. So many pastors stay too long, and the church began the ministry begins to decline. But this man loves you so much that he's built something with you that he wants to be in a perpetuous elevation as you guys continue to go forward. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about this whole thought of how a great church becomes greater. How a great church becomes greater. I was privileged to be called by your incredible staff to come and share with them. Succession is difficult. Transition is very challenging. And they asked that, would I come and just share some encouragement with this incredible staff. When Steve came here with this young family, you may have had one or two people on your staff at the Brownsburg Christian Church. But look at you now. Look at what God has done through you. And so I was able to speak to this large staff and encourage them in the midst of this transition. And so Steve was there. He heard the message, as he said, alluded to earlier, and said, would you come back and share this with all the Connection family? And so I left my vacation, in the middle of my vacation, to come here to share, because I do pray for you. You're on my mind. You're on my mind. And because I know when it comes to handing the mantle, there's no one that's praying more than Steve and Kristen are, that when Moses goes into the new season, that Joshua comes in to take you to even a greater place. And so as I began to share with the staff, the Lord showed me this verse, and I had preached this particular text before, of course, and here it is, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, reading from the King James Version. Here in this text, I believe, are some principles that will help you get through as you go through to get to the other side of this, what I call succession, this transition. All power, Jesus is talking here, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, Steve understood. He understood that this particular terminology from Jesus himself is not a good suggestion. It is really a great command. Look what it says. Go into all nations. Connection Point is a church that understands that not only must you go to Africa and Indonesia and El Salvador and all the places you go to minister and to do work, and, but you also understand that the inner city is just as critical as it is in the suburbs, as we understand in the inner city how Jesus must be perpetrated also in the suburbs. He understood that. There it is. Teach all nations, all peoples, all tongues, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Wow. I want you to move from greatness to a place of greater. And that is exactly what I believe God wants you to hear today. I believe one of the greatest pictures of transition took place right here in Matthew 28. Jesus called his small staff of 11. Remember, he started with 12, but one fell off a bus. That happens in ministry. everybody's not going where you're trying to go. Everybody doesn't see your vision. Everybody's not going to be a part of your business as you started it. There are times when people just don't see eye to eye, and they get off the bus. Well, now these 11 that hung in there with him, Jesus sent an unlikely preacher, Mary Magdalene, to go and tell his boys, his disciples, hey, listen, go tell them to meet me in Galilee. Wow. I think that's amazing because it was in Galilee where they first came together. It was at Galilee where he extended his vision of taking them to another level. And he tells them, come back to the former place. Come back to the former things. And I think it's incredible, as you saw the video, that you remember where you've come from in order to understand where you're trying to go. Meet me in Galilee. Galilee, the place of transition. Galilee, the place of succession. I want you to meet me here. The scripture said that when they all got there, that some doubted. There were some that were a little hesitant. They weren't as sure about what was getting ready to happen. This succession and this transition was something that they hadn't bought into. They weren't sure how things were going to go. But Jesus called them together and he says, listen, I am committing to you the keys of the kingdom. My season is up. I've done all I can do. I'm now turning over the progression of this experiment called the church over to you. Can you imagine the anxiety, the trepidation, the fear that these followers felt for they had witnessed his miracles. He had turned water into wine, and yet he was leaving them. Can you imagine how they felt? For they even told him on one occasion, we left everything to follow you. I transitioned from one church to this church because you were here. I held on in this ministry because you were here. And now you are leaving us? You're transitioning? My young adult designed this t-shirt. And they said, Pastor, pick one word that epitomizes how you're feeling right now. And I started thinking about it as I am approaching the latter season of my ministry, pastoral ministry, or should I say lead pastoral ministry. And I thought about this. I wrote the word greater. Had no idea that one day God would use this same message, this same principle, this premise to share with you on this wonderful, incredible time as you're going through this challenging season. And here they are, where they started. He's handing them the keys, and he says to them, greater works you shall do in my name. Sounds familiar? Amen. Yes, sounds familiar. Pastor Steve and the elders and the staff of this church believes with all their heart that God is going to get Joshua ready. As Moses goes into a different season, God is getting Joshua ready. He may be still on that clay mantle that Jeremiah talked about, that potter's mantle. He was coming forth and God said, no, he's not quite ready. There's an edge on him. Let me put him back on the wheel. And God is still shaping and making him, and he's getting him ready for a special place called Connection Point. The worst thing you can do with a great cake, you can have all the ingredients. If you cook it too fast, it'll fall. And so you have to be patient that God is working through Pastor Steve and your team to make sure that Joshua arrives when Joshua should. That's what Bob Russell has been sharing with you. That's what Pastor Tim shared. That's what Pastor Dave is going to be sharing. And others that are going to be coming, they're going to tell you, God, praise, I love this. Pastor Steve said, you guys are in the midst of a revival. I love it. See, you don't ever tell a black Baptist preacher that you're going to be preaching at a revival, because I wish I had some steps, because see, when you talk about revival, you know, you get excited, because how many of you want to be revived again in the things of God? Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Do y'all sit in the balcony because you're not going to say nothing? How many of y'all want to be blessed in the Lord? I can't hear you. Hallelujah, there you go. Somebody shout, God is still in control. Jim Collins, in his book, From Good to Great, said that the enemy of great is good. You know, when things are going good, you rest on your laurels. Sometimes you don't pray like you should. When things are going good, that is the enemy of going to the next level of great. And God put on my heart that this is a great church, but he's not through with you yet. So the enemy of greater is you resting on your laurels of being great. And I came to challenge you today, just as Christ has assigned me this moment. Pastor Steve has given me this opportunity to encourage you that greater days are ahead. Amen?
Amen.
Greater days are ahead. So Pastor Moore, what is in this very familiar passage of scripture that we can feed on as we go through this succession, as we go through this transition? Well, I think there are four things I want to share with you. In verse 17, it says this, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. I think that is worded that way for a reason. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Because so often in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of uncertainty, not knowing what God's going to do next, sometimes we forget and we don't see Jesus. We're looking at the crisis and we miss watching the Christ. And you know what I said? You know, at New Era, those times comes when I see people looking at the crisis and they're not looking for Christ in the crisis. And they saw him. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. This is the first time in scripture where you see the disciples worshiping Jesus. Now, they have been with him for 3 years. They watched him heal blind Bartimaeus. They watched him take a few loaves and some sardines in the middle of a desert, and he began to multiply them. Amen. And he fed 5,000 men, not counting children. Do you know there had to be at least 25,000 folk in that crowd? They saw all that, but they didn't worship him. It wasn't until after the crisis of the cross. Remember, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet, but yet they saw him as he really was in the midst of the crisis. Sometimes crises will make us look harder at the person of Jesus. I want to tell you, write this down, his undeniable presence. They thought he was gone, but here he is, a risen Savior. In Galilee, his undeniable presence. You've been here before. Some 30 or so years ago, a young man in Cincinnati raising a family got tapped on the shoulder and said, go to a place that I'm going to show you. And he arrives here in a small congregation of 200 or so, 300 people, and he begins to dream. He begins to imagine. And though there was a lot of folk doubting that this church could go to where you are today, look what God has done. God is very much aware of where you are in this critical season. He's very much aware of that. He hadn't brought you this far to leave you now. In the midst of all this uncertainty swirling all around them, the scripture says, and they saw Jesus. Nothing could keep Jesus from them, not even death. And nothing's going to keep him from you. His presence is undeniable. Even as you're going through right now, just know God is still in control. His omnipresence, his omnipotence, his omniscience, all those qualities are very much aware, are very much a present, rather, with you even today. He's undeniably present. I feel him in my spirit. There's something special about this place that only God could bring. Here's the second thing I want you to remember as you go through this time. And Jesus said, all power is given unto me. I love this because we see his unlimited power. He says all power. In other words, I have unlimited power. I'm making that powerful, accessible to this great church called Connection Point. Unlimited power. How many of you have your smartphones on you right now? Raise your hand. Anybody got an iPhone? Okay, who's got Androids? Raise your hand. Androids? Good. Any Blackberries out here? Blackberries? Okay, blueberries. In the blueberries. You do everything with those phones, don't you? I was sharing this morning that there are times when we get down the road and we realize we left our cell phone. What do? Turn around. Go back to get our cell phones. I remember the time where we used to have to stop on the corner, get a dime out, and put it in. That's so extinct from you. You don't even know what a phone booth is. Unless you watch an old Superman movie. And you guys all get all these smartphones. Somebody shout smartphone. They take pictures and they record stuff and they can get you from point A to point B. These phones do everything you need them to do. But I got news for you. If you don't plug them in, if they don't have no power, they aren't smart anymore. Amen? Amen. And I don't know why we as believers try to get through life without having power, without plugging into the source, making sure that we have enough power to get through the day. That we've talked to the master, the source of all power, so we can get through this transition, so we can get through this succession, so we can get through our day, so we can get through that time when business is low, so we can get through that time when our marriages have been challenged. All those things we can only get through if we don't take time. We can't get through if we don't take time to power up. And the biggest fights I have in my house now are, and usually is over, whose power cord is this? My wife says it's mine. I said, no, it's mine. We have one cord. No, I'm sure that's mine. They got the little ding on it. Said, no, it's not yours. It's mine. And we go back and forth because I'm always right, you know? That's my brother down there. Amen. So I went out. I said, I'll fix this. I went out and got her a pink cord so she could have power. And the pink cord disappeared. What do you do when you don't have any power? You have to stay connected. Amen. That's the dream, the vision God gave Pastor Steve some years ago and the leaders. How do we move from just being a Christian church to being a place of connection? I preached in the point earlier. It's pretty neat seeing how God has blessed you and brought you to this place. And there's some folk over there right now in the point listening. God has unlimited power. And we witness now his undeniable presence. Well, there's another thing in the text. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He tells them, he says, listen, you have an unchanging purpose. Regardless of who your next senior pastor or lead pastor is going to be, your purpose has not changed. I had an old professor that would say these words to us about every time we got together. He said this, methods are many, principles are few. Methods change often, principles never do. No matter who your lead pastor is, no matter how large your worship services go, no matter how many points you build here and down there and over there, it won't matter. Your purpose is the same. You have an unchanging purpose. It is something that only God can work through you. He's called you to make disciples, to mature disciples, and to mobilize them. Make them, mature them, and move them out to do the things I've called them to do. That is the great mission of the church. You see, good churches become great churches when they walk in their purpose. But I want to take you to another level here. Watch this. But great churches become greater churches when they allow their purpose to walk in them. Can I say that again? I was hoping you all take out a smartphone and tweet that to somebody. That's powerful stuff. I'm going to buy this sermon myself. Let me say it again. Good churches become great churches when they walk in their purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But, I love that transitional conjunction, but great churches become even greater churches when their purpose is walking in them.
Amen.
That came so apparent to me the other day when I was doing some work in my office, got a knock on the door, and one of the teachers from my after-school program said, "We need you." And so I went upstairs to see what the problem was. We have an after-school program that we take the kids from School 42, IPS School 42. They give us their failing students, those that are 2 and 3 grades behind, and saying, "Can you do anything to move the needle?" See, I often say that there's nothing wrong with the seed. It's the soil in which these seeds have been planted. These children did not choose these homes to be born in. They just happen to be born in the places that they are trying somehow to thrive and to mature and to make it. And they said, "We need you, Pastor, upstairs." And so I go upstairs and I see this little boy. I want to show you a picture of him. That's what we saw. That's what was happening the whole day. He just had this look on his face like, "I could care less." He had gotten in trouble for the last few days in school. He was getting in trouble in the after-school program. Things weren't going well for him. And so the teacher had sat with him and said, "Baby, Chris," his name is Chris, "Chris, just write down. You're not talking. Write down what's wrong with you." And Chris started writing. And after about 3 things, he threw the pencil down. And he said to the teacher, he said, "I think if I just had a tea, I would do better." The teacher looked over at him and said, what? "If I just had a tea, I would do better." She said, "Chris, what? A tea?" He said, "Yes, that thing that you're wearing." He said, "If I just had one of those teas." He didn't know what it was. All he knew is that the people that had on the tea loved on him. They were special to him. They took time for him. He said, "If I just had a tea, I think I would become a better boy." Because the people around him in our after-school program, and some of you are there, they wear the tea not just on their body, but they wear the tea in how they live their lives. And so they said, "Pastor, you got to come and hear this story." And I get up there, and he says, "Yes, sir, I think if I had a tea, I would do so much better." And so I, as I just did, reached out, show that other picture for me. And I showed him my tea. And look at that smile now. Can you imagine when I told this story at my church, how many teas came in the mail? Because every child needs to experience what that tea means. The power of the tea, the purpose of the tea. I came by to tell you, Connection Point, that your purpose is unchanging. People in Brownsburg, people wherever God sends you, are looking for the persona of the tea. How are you wearing your tea? What? How are you wearing your tea? Do people see a difference in how you live? Does Chris... the Chris is in your life. I've been crying ever since I came across this story, because all he knew, he didn't know what it was, he just knew it was a tea. And we began to spend time explaining to Chris that this tea is really a cross. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And yes, Connection Point, you've got to say, each of you, that there is a cross for me. Chris was never the same after he got his tea. His undeniable presence, his unlimited power, his unchanging purpose. But there's one more thing I want you to see as I go to my seat. It's in verse 20. And lo, I am with you always. When you make disciples, when you mature them, and when you mobilize them so that the Christians of the world can see what that tea means, then lo, I'll be with you always. His unfailing promise. In the earlier service, I love a song that they sang. They sang an old hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. And that's what I want to know today, Connection Point. Are you going to sit on His promises, or are you going to stand in the midst of this uncertainty, in the midst of what you're going through right now? Are you going to take a stand for Jesus? His unfailing promise is with you today. Just know, God has already got the next person in mind. And He's going to take you to a place, and He's going to take that which Steve has led you to build, and you guys are going to do greater work. I believe that with all my heart. And Steve is going to go off and help other churches like Brownsburg Christian Church come to a place like a Connection Point. Because God's unfailing promise, His promises are reliable. His promises are personal. And His promises are eternal. I love those words. You can depend on God. He is reliable. Somebody shout, amen. Amen. See, you all give your alarm clocks too much credit. You think your alarm clock woke you up this morning, but it was God that kept you. It was God that woke you up. At least He allowed you to hear that alarm clock. Because He's reliable. He's personal. Somebody shout hallelujah. He's personal. Hallelujah. Let me give you a good story. You know, I was, this woman was, had run out of food, and she had run out of money, and she wasn't sure how she was going to make ends meet. And she went to the pantry and got in her last can of pork and beans. And she said, God, I'm dependent on you. That was Monday. Tuesday rolled around, and she had no food, and she started praying and calling on God, and no food. Wednesday rolled around, and she said, oh, God, I know you're going to come through. Well, by this time, the neighbor next door, who happened to be an atheist, was so sick and tired of this woman praying to this God. And he said, I can't stand this woman. All she does is talk to this God. I don't know why she does that every day. And she's just praying and just asking God to do something. So he said, you know what, I'm going to fix her. So he ran to the grocery store, bought 4 or 5 bags of groceries, ran up, put them on her porch, rang the doorbell, and went and hid behind the bushes. And she came out and saw those groceries. She goes, oh, my God, you came through. Hallelujah. The atheist jumped out of the bushes and said, aha, I bought those groceries. She looked to heaven and said, and you made the devil pay for it. How many know God will see you through? He's reliable, He's personal, and He's eternal. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. You don't know how He's going to do it, but somebody shout, I know He will. I love telling these stories. Our grandmother had worked her fingers to the bone to help her grandson go through college. So when it got time for his graduation, he went to see his grandmother. He says, Grandma, I'm going to be graduating, and I want you to be there. She said, praise the Lord. I've been working in people's houses, and I've been doing all this work, so you're going to graduate? He said, yes. He said, but Grandma, you can't go there in that ceremony and shout like you do at church. She said, baby, let me tell you, I will not shout at the graduation. He said, okay. He shows up that Saturday morning. Grandma comes to the door with her hat on. She's got her purse on her arms. Grandma got her church heels on. She's walking toward the car, and she goes, thank you, Jesus. He said, Grandma, I done told you. You can't be having church at the ceremony. She said, baby, I promise you, I am not going to shout at the graduation. He takes her down the road. She sees a billboard that says graduating class of 2017. She goes, oh, praise God. He says, Grandma, now I've told you, you cannot do that at the ceremony. She said, baby, I promise you, when I get to the graduation, I'm going to sit still. And Grandma goes down. She's walking to her seat. She sees all this graduating class. She sees all these professors and all the stronger people. And she's thinking in her mind, oh, my goodness, God is reliable. God is a personal God. God is eternal. God is a God of his word. Look at here. My grandbaby is going to graduate. She sits down. They started calling names. And when they got to her grandson's name, grandma stood up and grandson went. They called the names before him. And just before they called his name, a bumblebee got in the ceremony and lit on the guy's name who were pronouncing all the names. And he said, Jesus. Grandma said, did somebody say Jesus? Did I hear somebody say Jesus? I know him. He makes a way out of no way. I know him. He's the reason my son is getting ready to graduate. Somebody shout hallelujah up in this ceremony. By this time, there was a professor sitting in the number of professors who was recovering from cancer, and he had just gotten word that he was cancer-free. He stood up and said, yes, I know Jesus. By that time, another grandmother on the other side of the ceremony stood up and said, I know Jesus. By that time, everybody in the place was shouting, thank you, God, for making a way out of no way. I stopped by today to tell Connection Point, God, we'll see you through. God bless you. Yes, he will. You can do better than that. Come on. You can do better than that. Come on. God will. Let's pray. Father, as we get ready for communion, that's exactly what this ministry needs. It's a spirit of togetherness, a spirit of unity, a spirit of expectation as you are working through them. A great thing. They feel your presence. They see your power. They understand their purpose. And they're standing right now on your promises. Bless now. Pastor Steve and Kristen, as they move to another season, and this church, as they wait for their Joshua. From great to greater is our expectation. Amen.